Evening, everybody.
Evening.
Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. And then from there, we're going to go over to Luke chapter 8, just to kind of open. Mark chapter 4. We'll grab verse 24. And we're going to go over to Luke 8. Mark 4:24, the scripture says, "And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. Whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him." Luke chapter 8. Parallel passage here. We're going to read. And you probably noticed I've left a couple of verses off that contextually would be helpful, but the parable of the lamp, it may say in your Bibles, whatever, but I want you to catch where he makes the warning here about take heed what you listen to. In verse 18 of Luke 8, it says, "Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him." Let's go to God in prayer. Great God, we praise you and we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. For the plan, Father, which you put together before the foundation of the world, to bring forth the Lamb, he who would be worthy to be slain. It's because of his willingness and your great plan that he offered up himself to be crushed, his blood to be spilled, in order that we would have opportunity to be restored in full fellowship with you. Father, I am grateful that your word, as Jesus said himself, is truth, and you have told us that we can be sanctified by that truth. Father, I am grateful for the brothers and sisters that are here tonight, for those that are visiting. Pray, Father, tonight as always, for every message that I have the privilege to communicate, that you first would receive the glory that you so deserve. And in so doing, Father, may I be confident that the brothers and sisters then will be further equipped for the work of service, the purpose for the assemblies of the saints. Father, I just pray again that I would be faithful to your word, communicate in such a way that I would encourage all, and that you would receive the honor. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you heard the statement? You know, the old kid's statement says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." You ever heard that? What a lie. It's a lie. I've told the story before. I've done things, broke things, all have healed. And the memory of those, many of them have faded almost completely when I got things broken. Hand through a window when I was about 5 years old, thinking I was Superman. I've told some of you this story before. Stitches galore on my wrist. I don't remember the pain. That's a good memory now. I tell it and laugh. But the things that people say to you that put you down or make you feel inadequate, right? You know what I'm talking about. You don't forget those, do you? Now see, the scripture flips it. It says, sticks and stones, so what if they break your bones? Lord says, but it's the words and the way you listen to them and how you listen to them that could hurt you. See, that's what the scripture says. So I want to talk to you guys a little bit tonight because Mr. Wilson's been going through in a series of messages, you know, the restoration movement, and telling you guys that these are things we need to understand clearly. Now we praise God, we have many young Christians in our assembly. Frank's our newest addition. You know, Frank Bible studied. He was careful to check out how he listened, and he was careful to make sure that Brother David Dobson, and I think Mr. Super Dave, you were involved, were you not? And Frank, you guys work with him, so I'm sure you were getting him at work and after work. But anyway, you were being careful to make sure that you showed him what the Bible says, not what we think, right? Right? Yeah. So you probably told Frank, like I tell everybody I Bible study with, it doesn't matter what anybody says, including me. It's what the Scripture says. But what do we got to do? We got to prove to people, number one, that the Scripture truly is the Word of God. We got to prove it to them. And we can do it. See? We can prove it. So then we can tell people from this point on, now that you know that this is trustworthy, that the Book of Mormon is a bunch of baloney, that the Quran was made up by a guy who couldn't even read and write, and we don't want to even go into his personal life. That was nasty, brethren. If you don't know anything about Muhammad, one nasty dude. Okay? All that stuff's garbage. All of it. The Vedas? You going to believe that the world rests on the back of a giant turtle? Oh, I'm sorry, they got it wrong there. They meant to say elephant. They got it wrong there too. But that's what they say. The Sanskrit writings, the Vedas. You going to believe that? A lot of people do. Billion or so. How many believe, you know, Catholicism? How many believe? Well, what do you want to go down to? Just whoop, go down it, the list. So Luke has been telling us. The Restoration Movement, you know, all the principles of the Restoration Movement, back to the Bible, right? Let's get back to the book. Get back to the name. What do we call them? We're Christians. We're saints. We're the church of the firstborn ones enrolled in heaven. If you want to get real specific, that's what the Scripture says. But we're Christians, first and foremost, right? Saints, it's said a lot. So we got to get back to the order of things as the Bible speaks about the way the church is run, the way His church is run. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. Let's just touch on a couple of them real quick in that regard about how the church is ordered, how it is ordered according to the pattern revealed in the New Testament. It's very clear. Scripture says women are not to exercise authority over men in the Lord's church. How many of you women love that passage? Right? 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 Oh, you got to love that. I know you do. I say with ladies that, well, I got a real problem with that. Well, I guess it's your problem. You know, it's what it says. See, the Lord knows us men. We can be sluggards. We can be lazy, can't we? Men, nod your heads. You know what I'm talking about. And we let them do everything if we get away with it. Well, now, Kevin, how can you say that? Well, let's just look at our culture. How many single moms have we got? Of guys who said, see ya, you can handle it. I'm out of here. That's one of them, isn't it? I mean, I haven't met a gal yet my age and younger that doesn't get her teeth a little bit tight, jaw clenches, teeth a little bit of grinding. Might be some, you know, not only gnashing of teeth, but some weeping. Now, them ladies, they don't like being told that. They automatically think, what, second-class citizen. But I immediately, after I tell them that, I take them to what Peter has to say, where he says women are to be regarded as equal heirs. You know, who was hanging out with Jesus besides his apostles? The ladies. The ladies were hanging out with him because they knew his character. They knew that he truly loved him. And he knew that they had, or they knew that they had a proper spot in the coming kingdom. Now, that's just one for the ladies, right? I mean, we could go down a list of things. Be careful what you listen to, because there's a whole bunch of people out there that say, oh, that was then, that's not now. See, God is still speaking. That's their mantra, isn't it? God is still speaking. Really? How come Jude said he delivered the faith once for all? Did he miss something? I don't think so. If it's been delivered once for all, it's once for all. So we got to be understanding as God's people, as Luke has gone through this series, that we understand the Restoration Movement was returned back to the order and the way things were done in the New Testament. This is Jesus' church. It's not Luke's church. It's not my church. And it's not your church. Okay? So, you don't have the right, as Luke talked about this morning, to change anything of what the Lord has spoken about how things will be done. He said, elders, bishops, overseers, all interchangeable usage in Acts chapter 20, pastors, poimen in the Greek. Pastor comes from a Latin term there. That's how we get that in our translations in the English. All of those are interchangeable terms. That's for elder men that are to be leaders in the church. Do you see anything in the Scripture where it says, have a church board and make sure you have at least 40% women? Before I became a Christian, I served on a mainline denominational church board, and that was one of the things they made sure. When we'd sit down and elect officers, quote unquote. Now look, I came out of that stuff. Spent a lot of time in that. They would deliberately, when they would elect, they'd say, we need to get this many women. Well, you go back, you become a Christian, you look, you go, where was that in the Bible? It's not. You know why I didn't know it? Because we never read the Bible. We never referenced the Bible. 30-some years in that denomination, I never once heard him say, open your Bible and turn to. Not once. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen, is what Jesus said. Now, brethren, I praise you guys because you are people of the book, as Luke said this morning. You are careful what you listen to. You are careful how you listen. But we all got to be honest and say, am I running the Word of God through any personal filters? We have to be honest, don't we? Am I running that through a personal filter? You know, what about divorce? What about, all these things that the world just, we get married until it gets rough, then we divorce. That's the world's attitude. God says He hates divorce. Some people have been married here in the last year or so in our congregation. And I know that is something they understand. We got to make sure we understand that. God says He hates divorce. I don't know about you guys. I've been married, I better do a quick calculation here, almost 34 years. Am I right? I did good. I checked with Eve. She said, Adam, you're all right. So anyway, in those 34 years, it hasn't been a rose garden for my wife. It hasn't been all, dancing through the tulips, with harp strings playing in the background. It just isn't. I love it when Brother Jay does a wedding. He'll say, today, you're feeling this, everything's great. And Mr. Ferguson did it with Jonathan and Brittany at their wedding. And he said, it's really nice. You think it's going to be like this? And Jay says, about Tuesday morning, they're getting married on Saturday night. And he's about Tuesday morning, you're going to discover, it just got rough. There's some work in this thing, right? So you got to understand that. When you're a Christian, you get married, it's one, done, right? Now, if you weren't a Christian, you got married, you got divorced. Hey, when you're a Christian, that slate's brand new. But it does say in the Scripture, if you are married as a Christian, you're married in the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. Because that's one of the things, brethren, that I think in the churches out there today, I can tell you from my experience, seems to get run through a filter by a whole lot of people. I can marry this guy or this gal that's non-Christian. I will make it work because I'm the special exemption. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. Now, these are things, brethren, that I know can be issues. These are some of the things that I've just been thinking about, rolling around in my head, when I read these verses. Now, having said all those things, really there's two voices you're listening to, right? Really it is. You got the Lord through His Word, the inspired revelation through His prophets, through His apostles, right? Old Testament, New Testament prophets, New Testament apostles. Okay? Or you've got something that Ephesians 2 says is the prince of the power of the air at work now in the sons of disobedience. And that's called airwaves on the attack. And here they come. Right? Prince of the power of the air. There's a reason the god of this world, Satan, is given that title. Because he's got control of the airwaves, brethren. And like we talked about in our Wednesday night study at the Donnie Hughes house, our cell group study on the book of James, there's a reason they call television shows that you see programming. They are programming you. And I am old enough to know that if someone was a homosexual, that was the last thing you wanted anybody to know about you. Now it's paraded as if you're not one, you're somehow lesser of an individual. That's programming that started in the mid-70s on television. One of the first shows was called Three's Company. And the guy paraded, he wasn't, but he paraded as a homosexual so he could cohabitate with two women. And it started there, brethren, and it accelerated, and we are where we are today, where now if you open your mouth and speak against homosexuality, it's a hate crime. In parts of the United States, and coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Now, be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. So, Jesus, as He's laying out all the things to come as part of the new covenant, He lays out parables, okay, and both Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8 follow on the heel of a parable called the parable of the sower. You guys know that one, right? It's one of the parables that Jesus actually interprets so that we have an understanding of what are these parables about. The parables are about what, brethren? If you were listening to Brother Luke when he did his series of messages some time ago, we know the parables are about the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is who? You. The church. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. So he's teaching parables. Now there's a prince of the power of the air out there that's trying to make you understand that the kingdom means nothing. Or should go down the list. Here we are on Lord's Day evening. I'm glad to see all your guys' faces. There's a few missing. I'm not sure why. That's between them and the Lord. Okay. But look, I'm glad you're here. But there'll be some places on a Lord's Day evening, on a summer's day, where you're going to get the only people there were the ones that were unfortunate enough to maybe have to work in the morning, miss the Lord's Supper, and feel a sense of obligation to be there tonight to take that Lord's Supper. Notice I said they feel a sense of obligation. They don't have a desire to want to be there. They feel an obligation to be there. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. See, the Lord's Supper, brethren, properly understood, is a peace offering celebration. Has zero to do with sin, but what do most people teach that the Lord's Supper is all about? Sin. All right, contact the blood, get my sins forgiven. I remember raising that denomination. I still remember it. Can't get it out of my head. We confess it. We're in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. That goes in deep. I wasn't careful, nor were my parents, what I was listening to or how I was listening. All you kids that heard that, I hope it went so fast it didn't stick. But that's the kind of stuff that happens. It's a prince of the power of the air. The Lord's Supper, brethren, is participation in a peace offering extended from heaven to us. You don't understand the peace offering. You need to go back and study that Old Testament and then go and read 1 Corinthians 10 and pay close attention. The sharers, all Israel shares. Oops, the only sacrifice that all Israel shared in, not just the priests alone, was the peace offering. And that had nothing to do with sin. It was a thank you, Lord, celebration. And it was one that was a votive. Do you know what that means? Free will. Now, think about what I said when people feel an obligation. See, because somebody out there, instead of teaching them the value of the Lord's Supper, teaching them who they are in Christ, has told them, the Scripture says this, and if you don't come here, you will die! And so you get a nice little soldier that should be walking by faith, that's walking by law. Gotta go to that assembly, gotta go. Instead of saying, I get to go. How do you guys feel about hitting assembly? I love coming here. This is my family. This is what matters. This is for eternity. I get to be at the Lord's Supper. You know where I partake? I partake in heavenly places according to the Scripture. By faith I'm seated in the heavenly places. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. Do you hear that? Is what the Scripture asks. You are seated in the heavenly places. I ask people all the time, you believe that? I know your carcass is right there in that seat. But where's your faith picture? Where does the Lord say you're seated? You're going to listen to the devil says, no, you're not. You're sitting right there, Mr. Love. Quit listening to that yahoo up front trying to convince you of something that's not. I'm telling you, you're seated in the heavenly places according to the Scripture. Now, I've asked you guys over and over throughout the years, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe what the Scripture says about you? Jesus did. He believed everything it said about Him. So, for the joy set before Him, He went through the cross for you, brethren. Because He believed what the Scripture said. He said, I'm going to be careful to what I listen to. I'm going to be careful how I listen to it. I'm going to go right through that cross because I know where I'm going. I'm going back to the throne in front of my throng. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. Can be both negative and positive. Amen? See? Scripture, brethren. Scripture asks you. Jesus asks you. Be careful what you're listening to. And be careful how you're listening. Now see, the Scripture can, it goes into the heart. See, Jesus said, the mouth speaks forth that which is in the heart. What goes into this ear comes out of this mouth. So what you hear comes out here. Boom. Boom. See? So when you wonder, why does Kevin get up there and keep pounding the same stuff over and over? Because what you hear will ultimately come out here. And that's what I want. It's what the Lord wants. I read those passages and I hear the Lord saying, Kevin, are you being careful what you're listening to? And how are you listening to it? Now this book, the greatest book ever written, the most awesome book ever written, incredible book ever written, has a lot of great things to say. Or you could have a mindset that you're kind of putting one foot in front of the other. And like I said earlier, you're doing it because you feel an obligation. And this book reads pretty negative to you. If you're doing it because you know who you are according to what the Scripture says, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, you're saints, not black-hearted sinners according to the Scripture. That's a complete bunch of baloney. That's a misappropriating of a few verses in Romans chapter 7 and a couple other places. Say, oh, now we're always going to be in a sin situation. Well, they forgot Romans 6 and they forgot Romans 8. Pretty good bookends to that chapter. That says, no, that's not the way it's going to be. And they lift those verses out of context, don't they? I don't know about you, but it gets me fired up. Now, I'm not going to deny if I have sinned. That's the worst thing you can do. It does say in the Scripture, if you sin, doesn't it? Do you guys notice it doesn't say when you sin? Did you notice that? Oh, be careful what you're listening to. Be careful how you're listening. See, there's a whole doctrine built on total depravity by some guy named Calvin. Maybe him and Hobbes, I don't know. But all I know, brethren, is that's baloney. It sends people to hell because they think they cannot be victorious. Are you an overwhelming conqueror? Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. Now, I can stand up here and go all night on stuff. Negative, positive, all night. You guys know I can. But brethren, what goes into the heart actually comes out. Now the Scripture says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Now you can look at that and go, oh wow. Impossible. Big problemo. Right? No. Not if you're being transformed. Amen. Now if you're being conformed, like Romans 12 says, do not be conformed. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful how you're listening. See, Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the world, right? But be transformed by what? Renewing of your mind. So why in the world does everybody get up here, Luke, me, Jared, McPherson, we can go through the list, right? And keep telling you guys, put your nose in the Word, put your nose in the Word, put your nose in the Word. Because that's the way that you are going to be transformed. You read this thing, you read it the way it's supposed to be read to you, Christian, and you're going to be transformed. With a proper perspective of who you are in Christ and who Jesus Christ is. Our risen, exalted, only sovereign and Savior forever. Amen. Okay? Now, you can look at it that way, and this thing is a motivator. Positive. It will help you overcome. But it's all a matter of being careful of what you listen to and being careful how you listen. Now, whatever goes into that heart will come out. Now, right after that verse in Ephesians 4:29, where it says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, it goes right on, gives a negative side. You know what it says? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's talking about the use of this thing. And before long, we'll be in James chapter 2 in our studies, and we'll get to talk a lot about that little rudder, that little feller called the tongue. So can you see why Jesus would say, be careful what you listen to? He's not telling you don't listen to it. We're not like the Jehovah's Witnesses and, you know, all those guys. Oh, here's the only authorized reading. Here you go. Don't look at anything else. Jesus just said, be careful. Hey, if you've got the mind of Christ, can you run things through the right prism? Right? I mean, just check everything out, right? You can spiritual, right? Combining spiritual thoughts, spiritual words, all that good stuff. We can do it. We can spiritually appraise. All those things are no problem. But you got to be careful. Don't you? Now, that comes back to the assemblies, doesn't it? Why are we at the assemblies? Well, I told you, the reason for the assemblies is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Amen? And you guys know what I mean by service, right? How do we spell service? S-E-R-V-I-C-E. How does most of the religious marketplace spell that? S-E-R-V-E-U-S. Serve us. No, we're in service to Christ. He's not serving us. He served for us when He put Himself on that cross. Okay? Now He says, salute and execute, soldier. And we do it with a great attitude because we can't be put to death. Well, maybe they put our body in the ground, but we don't die. Our soul lives forever with Him. Amen? Now, Larry said everybody's destined to die, and I tend to agree with that, except for one little. There will be those who are alive and remain. And I'd like to be part of that. Why not? The way things look right now, I think Jesus is coming. And really soon. Things continue. So, am I part of that? Great. If I'm not, so what? I'll see Him. My big hope is I see you. You know, like Lucas said many times, quitting is not an option. Given up. Can't do her. Not that I know what I know. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. What we listen to, according to the parables that preceded the statements Jesus made, and how we listen to them, what we listen to and how we listen to will have a big, big impact on what kind of soil we are. Now go back and read that parable of the sower, thinking about what he attached right on the end of that parable in both Mark and Luke's account. Did that? Talks about being a lamp, not being hidden, put on a lampstand for the whole world to see. Why? Well, because he needs you to bring the lost in, brethren. And that's what that parable is all about. So he says, if you're listening to what I'm saying, if you know who you are and what I've got for you as a purpose, you're going to be fruitful. I don't know about you guys, but I think of the story of Dave and Goliath. Aren't you glad David didn't listen to Goliath? As he was taught in the armies of Israel, and all the armies are up there. And Dave says, let me at him. I'll do it. Who is this filthy, you know, a few words for old Goliath, who's taunting the living armies of the Lord God? Who does this guy think he is? And Dave's brothers, get back, shorty. You know, didn't listen to him, did he? He was careful to listen to what he should have been listened to, and he was very careful how he listened to, right? He knew who he was. He knew what he was able to do. While his brother's cowered, he says, "I can conquer." Now that's a real, real decision here, real choice. Are we going to cower or are we going to conquer? Amen? That's really what it's about. So you got to be careful what you listen to. You got to be careful how you listen. The Scripture is going to either build you up, brethren, or if you're looking at it wrong, you ain't looking at it right, it could be used to destroy you. Because I do remember Satan coming at Jesus with memorized Scripture too. Misappropriated and misapplied. But he used Scripture. So the devil is clever. And according to 2 Corinthians 11, his workers will demonstrate themselves as workers of righteousness. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. So this study that Luke's doing on the restoration, restoration movement, restoration of the ancient order, restoration of the ancient book, restoration of the ancient name, restoration of the ancient gospel, right? And then we just got to get the restoration of the ancient power that they kind of forgot about, right? The indwelling Holy Spirit. I ain't talking about tongues and babbling and rolling on the floor, brethren. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit made to dwell in you. Frank, the Holy Spirit lives in you. The God who created all this lives in you. You didn't feel a thing, right? Then you did it exactly right. You did. Because by faith, you have to believe that what God said, He delivered on. What He is able to perform, right? He did it with you. Now, Frank, you're my brother in Christ. You're now a saint. You're a Christian. Your name's been changed. Also on Satan's avenue. You're now called Target. Okay? That's Revelation chapter 12, brethren. Okay? So listen. Guys, be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. Be grateful that many of the greats in the Bible, in the historical accounts and the inspired accounts we have, knew who they were. And they didn't listen to the naysayers. They listened to the Lord. Can we do this? Can we take Billings? Can we take Yellowstone County? Can we take the state of Montana? Can we take it in the uttermost parts of the world? Yes, we can. We got some men in here, I think, capable of doing that. Really do. Really do. Brethren, but what we got to do is make sure that we're careful what we're listening to and how we're listening. That's what we got to remember. Okay? So remember who you are in Christ Jesus, brethren. Remember that. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. I remember when I used to sell... I'm going to close here. Eventually. I remember when I used to sell appliances and TVs. When I was a kid, Mr. Love, Mrs. Love, remember this. We were just talking about TVs, Bob Gordon and Lisa Gordon and I, you know, about the old days. You know, monophonic sound, not stereophonic, you know, all that kind of stuff. Black and white TV. I can remember when I was a kid, if you got a Zenith TV or an RCA, but a Zenith, ooh, you were somebody in the neighborhood. You were big in the hood. Okay? Because see, Zenith's old motto was, the quality goes in before the name goes on. By the time I started selling appliances and televisions about 1992, way back when, I don't do that anymore, but when I did it back then, Zenith was absolute junk. And it all happened from within the company. They destroyed their brand by what they did internally. Do you get my lesson? See, the Lord said, the quality goes in, then my name goes on. See, He stuck His Spirit in Frank. He stuck His Spirit in us. And the name went on. Christian. And we know that according to Ephesians 1, Romans 8, that you don't belong to Christ, right? And He ain't going to come back and redeem you unless that Holy Spirit's in you. So the quality went in before the name went off. See, great story, right? Remember that. Quality goes in. The name goes on. Christian. Let's stand. Let's pray. Great God, You are awesome. I love you for all that you've done for us. Jesus Christ, our eternal Father, our wonderful Counselor, our mighty God, you, the Prince of Peace. We lift your name high. You have redeemed us. You have purchased us with your blood. And therefore, we glorify you in our bodies. Father, I pray for the congregation in Billings. Pray that we continue to understand who you've made us to be according to your word. That we would be careful what we listen to and how we listen to it. And we would be like those noble-minded Bereans, checking the Scripture daily to see if the things that are said are so. Because we know there's just a bunch of voices out there, Lord. Even those in the religious marketplace, they're confusing the message. Help us to understand that your word is truth. If we are to be sanctified, we need to be sanctified by that truth. Help us to value the tremendous value that you have given us through your preserved word, that which is able, if we implant it, according to your servant James, as you inspired him to pen, is able to save our souls. May we continue in this assembly to be careful what we listen to and to be careful how we listen to it. Praise you for all the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray your blessing upon them. Help us all to leave here lifted up, understanding that we have a great work to accomplish to your glory, and that you've entrusted this divine purpose to us, and you have displayed your confidence in us by giving it to us and not entrusting it to the angels. Great God, man, we are so humbled by what you have done for us. I praise you again for the opportunity we've had to be together as your people. Bless us. Help us to bring glory and honor to your name. I ask this through the name that has been exalted high above all other names, the name of our Lord, our Savior, our Sovereign, our King, Jesus, who is the Christ, and the congregation said, Amen. Amen.